Today's episode of the Dynasty Football Podcast is brought to you by State Farm. When you need a game plan for protection, State Farm agents are here to help. With personalized service, agents are available to talk in person, over text, or through the State Farm app. So go with the one with coverage and agents you can count on. Find an agent in your neighborhood today. State Farm. Talk to an agent today. Football podcast on the Ringer NFL show on the Ringer Podcast Network. My name is Danny Heifetz, and I'm joined as always by my co-host and my co-Danny, the hero we need and the analyst we deserve, the Dark Knight himself, Danny Kelly. How are you doing, DK?
I'm doing magnificent. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm here with Craig Horlbeck. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. DK, have you seen The Dark Knight? Do you like that movie?
I do like that movie, and I have seen it. It's very, very good.
Why are you surprised by
Christopher
that?
Nolan is awesome.
I just didn't know how much of a movie buff our boy DK was.
Yeah, I mean, I got the nickname because my initials are DK, so it's not really because I love the movie, but
I
do love the movie. Yeah. I don't fight crime either, no.
He fights bad analysis.
Nice.
That's why he fights you.
I was wondering how he would make a transition out of this.
It's a crime in some sense.
It's a frowned upon on this podcast. Even though it's audio. I don't know what the audio version of a frown is. Anyway, we're going to run through a bunch of players we like and their matchups this week. We're going to break down our FanDuel lineup. We will be using FanDuel the rest of the season. And then that's going to be at the end. But first, we're going to run through some categories. DFS players we really like. A reminder that FanDuel is 0.5 PPR, so adjust accordingly. So half point per reception. DK, I know that titillates you.
So now going back, do I retroactively get another win for Kenny Stills now that we're doing 0.5?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
absolutely
okay. Just
you've
checking.
Been waiting for that.
Oh,
all
that's
day.
The first thing I thought of.
That's like Alonzo and Fandy. I've been planning this all week.
FanDuel so graciously sponsored this podcast and perhaps retroactively just gave me a win, but I guess not.
No. This isn't. Oh, man. It's like the NFL changes the pass interference thing. It's like the Saints
the
made
ones.
The Super Bowl. Like, that's not how it works.
I'm into that.
All right. I'm sure you would be. All right. Anyway, go big or go home. These are expensive players we think are worth the money. DK, who's an expensive player you think is worth the money?
So we've been doing go big or go home for a while now, and I don't think we've ever mentioned Christian McCaffrey, which is just egregious on our part. He is the prototypical go big or go home player. He lives up to his salary every single week, even though he is probably the most expensive player every single week. He's 10,500 this week, which is, you know, hold on. How much more is it? He's 1,900 more than the next closest running back. And he's absolutely still worth it. He scored 36.1, 25.5, 19.7, 44.7, 28.9 in the last five. He's an absolute machine. And there's no sign that he's slowing down. If anything, he's getting better as the season goes on. Cam Newton, it's been announced that he is on IR, so he's done for the year. The offense is going to continue to run completely through CMC. He's matchup proof, game proof, QB proof, everything proof. I think he's, you know, as safe of a fantasy player this year as anybody, and I think he's absolutely worth his salary this week.
Yeah, and the Packers, you know, obviously Cam Newton not playing this week or the rest of the season, maybe ever as a Panther again, but that, you know, he turned the team over to Kyle Allen, but really they're going to turn it over to McCaffrey this week because the Packers have like a really good pass rush, but they have a bottom eight run defense by DVOA.
Yeah, they've been hemorrhaging yards on the run.
And Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith are probably the best pass rushing duo through halfway through the season, but the best way to mitigate them coming at Kyle Allen is to run McCaffrey right past them.
They've given up 10 touchdowns for running backs this year, which is second most only to the Panthers.
There you go. There you go. I like the matchup too. And just in general, McCaffrey's just become like an every week start. So yeah.
Second among all qualifying running backs with 5.3 yards per carry. And the Packers are tied for the sixth most allowed yards per carry. Almost said most there. I don't know. My go big or go home. Derrick Henry on the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to be honest. I don't really like Derrick Henry. I don't really like Derrick Henry. I don't think I've ever plugged Derrick Henry in my life before, right now.
I know. This is the first time I think you've ever touted him.
I don't like him, but I do like this matchup. Derrick Henry has rushed for 100 yards once this season, which is kind of why I don't like him for someone who doesn't catch passes. I can't speak today. But I think Derrick Henry gets his second 100-yard game this week against the Chiefs. The Chiefs have allowed 4.8 yards per carry to opposing running backs. That is the 28th in the league. They have allowed the third most fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. And then just, I mean, football for a second. Like, the teams who've beaten the Chiefs are also in the AFC South. The Colts and the Texans both had the ball for nearly 40 minutes against the Chiefs. Marlon Mack had 29 rushing attempts for 132 yards. Carlos Hyde had 26 attempts for 116 yards and a touchdown. Carlos Hyde was a top 10 running back. Derrick Henry is not great, but might be better than Carlos Hyde. I think the Titans love running. Mike Vrabel loves running. They love exotic smash mouth. The team just, I don't know. They just want to run. Maybe it's because they can't throw. Ryan Tannehill's been all right, but they're so banged up at defensive end. They had to move Chris Jones, the defensive tackle, when he came back. They had to move him to defensive end. Like, they're so thin on the D-line. I like this a lot for Derrick Henry. All right, Craig, who's your go big or go home?
I'm going big on Chris Godwin, who kind of had a couple slow weeks, technically. Not really slow. I mean, he had 61 yards and 43 yards in his last two games. Slow relative to Chris Godwin.
He's top five in receiving yards and top four in fantasy points. So.
Yeah, because the three games before those two kind of duds, he had 172, 125, and 151 yards. So they're playing the Cardinals this week, who
suck.
Who suck. They're bad through the path. And Mike Evans, who's been having a great couple of weeks, is probably going to be shadowed by future Hall of Famer corner Patrick Peterson. This is just going to be a big game for Godwin. Simple as
that. Do we think he's going to be a future Hall of Famer?
I didn't want to mention it, but
yes.
I... Really?
Absolutely. He's been like a top three corner in the league for like 5 to 7 years.
People were dunking on him last week for getting kind of worked by Emmanuel Sanders, but...
I mean, one game. How many corners can you name that have been like in the conversation for a decade now?
You know how hard it is getting the Hall of Fame?
What?
You know how hard it is to get in the Hall of Fame? They let 5 people in every year.
I mean, Patrick Peterson... Who's been a better corner in the past 7 years?
Richard Sherman. We said that at the same time.
He'll probably make it.
All right.
It feels like we're getting a little off track.
A wee bit. All right. Yeah. To your
I disagree.
Point, though,
let's stick
you know who doesn't
this.
Think Patrick Peterson's going to have a big impact on this game? The over-under, which is the highest of the week at 54 points, because this is a shootout, because, I mean, I don't know if the Bucs have a good run defense or their pass defense is so bad that nobody runs on them.
The Bucs bring the best out of everybody. They just make fun games. Like, they go to the Rams. It's a great game. Like, everywhere they go, even if they lose, the Seahawks, it's just a really, really great
These
game.
These are both absurdly pass-happy teams that are playing. They both have defenses that just beg you to pass because their run defense is fine and their pass defense is really terrible. So.
Yeah, this isn't really, I mean, we're not tricking anybody. He's the third most expensive receiver on FanDuel, so it's not like they don't know, but we also know is what I'm trying to say.
I like this pick. It's good.
All right, so flipping it around, who's someone who's really expensive you're not into this week, DK?
So I'm just a little bit leery about what's going on with the Falcons offense. Matt Ryan coming off of a ankle injury, right? That's kept him really limited, kept him out of last game. It's kept him limited this week. But sounding like he's trending towards playing this week, so that's definitely a boost. But I'm just going to stay away from Julio Jones for his cost right now, 7,900, going up against a good New Orleans defense. It's nothing against Julio. It's nothing against Matt Ryan necessarily, but just this matchup and Ryan's health are really what concern me. And I think I'd just rather spend my money on guys in that range, other guys in that range. So I'm going away from Julio Jones this week.
There's hot takes and then there's quaint takes. And I think I'm a little leery about the Falcons offense is the quaintest take I've ever heard. That was a really polite way to go about that, DK.
I love Julio Jones, however.
He's wonderful.
He sucks.
All right, someone expensive that I'm out on. I feel like just every week, Todd Gurley. The Rams are playing the Steelers. I'm not a huge fan of any of the Rams this week, even Cooper Kupp, but Cooper Kupp's just kind of proven that he's good enough that I'm not going to shade Cooper Kupp, but Gurley is just, I don't understand. He's $7,200 in FanDuel. I don't really understand why. The Steelers are the fifth most stingy defense to opposing running backs. They're not allowing a lot of fantasy points. Todd Gurley has not had more than 51 rushing yards since week two, which is bad.
And he's not a pass catcher anymore.
He's not
really
a pass catcher anymore. He's coming off. Daryl Henderson's increasingly eating into their workload. This is not a good matchup for the Rams as a whole, because the Steelers have the third most sacks in the league with 29, and the Steelers and the 49ers are the only two teams in the league who pressure opposing quarterbacks more than 30% of dropbacks. And the Rams have had their issues along the line because, left tackle Andrew Whitworth, right tackle Rob Havenstein are having I mean, Whitworth's having a fine year. Havenstein's having a disastrous year because they're both kind of like trying to protect their guards inside of them because the Rams have like the worst guards in the league. And the Steelers have T.J. Watt on one side, who's on pace for a career year in sacks. You have Bud Dupree on the other side pass rushing. Bud Dupree has already tied his career high in sacks with 6. So like really bad. And also the Steelers blitz. They're in the top 25% of the league in blitzing. So they're 8th most blitz happy team in the league. And they're going to attack those guards. So I think they're going to attack the Rams offense. And then on the flip side of the ball, the Steelers are actually the hardest team to sack in football. So it's a long way of saying, I think the Steelers control the ball in this game.
Not to mention this game's on the road and Jared Goff, not great on the road.
Your favorite thing ever.
It's getting cold. It's November. Wear some gloves, Jared.
Where's his, is it Banana Republic? Where's some Banana Republic gloves?
Yeah, it is Banana Republic.
Rams, the Banana Republic. All right, Craig, you've earned this. Who's a
Go Big or Go
week?
Home? Or no, this isn't Go Big or Go Home. This is Go Home. Latavius Murray, Go Home this week.
Wait, quick sidebar. Should we just change the name of these segments to Go Big and then later go home?
That's funny.
All right, well,
Go Home, decided. Latavius Murray. Alvin Kamara is back playing Atlanta. Every game that Kamara has played, Latavius Murray hasn't exceeded 8 carries. And Atlanta's only given up 3.9 yards per carry. I don't know why he's the 11th most expensive running back. He's $7,000 on FanDuel. You should not be spending that much money on a backup.
I mean, I think the answer is just that they put the price at assuming whoever is the starter so that you can't get some egregious advantage. But yeah, it's always like really misleading.
It always like, it takes like a couple weeks for his price to go back to what it should be. So this is the week that you should avoid him.
Prices are, it's like turning an aircraft carrier. It just takes a while.
It's like a 3-point turn, right? They're in the middle of the turn right now.
You know, when the Giants drafted left tackle Eric Flowers, Tom Coughlin said that he loved him because Eric Flowers was an aircraft carrier. And it turned out he was right.
Is that true?
I swear to God, I'll never forget it. All right, let's move on. But before we do so, let's take a quick break. This holiday season, immerse yourself in your favorite holiday classics with a new home theater system from Sonos. Enjoy Speech Enhancement Mode, a unique feature that clarifies the sound of the human voice, perfect for when characters whisper or the action intensifies. Turn it on in the Sonos app and never miss a moment of the story. Plus, play carols and more when the TV is off. Hosting family and friends? Sonos works with all your streaming services and control is simple with the app. Apple AirPlay 2, and your voice using Amazon Alexa or the Google Assistant. You hear that? I was whispering. All the people listening on Sonos heard what I just whispered because they have sound enhancement mode on. You can also wirelessly connect all your speakers to create your perfect sound system. It was super easy to put my Sonos Move into my place. It has been absolutely wonderful. I mean, I might be outing myself right now, but Arl Grime released a Halloween remix, and that was just absolutely delightful to hear on my Sonos Move. I don't know if that, like, brands me as some type of way, but I don't care. Because you know what? That's how it was made to be heard. Go to Sonos.com to learn more and complete your holiday shopping. And while we're here, let's talk about FanDuel. There are always more ways to win on FanDuel Sportsbook, and it's easy to get your winnings when you want them. With FanDuel Sportsbook's cash out feature, you can end your bet early and claim your cash with the push of a button. Plus, FanDuel's fast payouts mean you can get your winnings in your pocket in as little as 24 hours. Money lines, spreads, totals, parlays, props, teasers, and more. FanDuel Sportsbook has tons of bet types available every single day. Plus, they always offer unique betting promos to spice up game day, like boosted odds, score bonuses, and parlay insurance. With so much to bet on across 17 different sports, FanDuel Sportsbook is sure to have wagers that's right for you. And best of all, you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free. If you lose, you'll get a refund of up to $500 in site credit. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with the promo code RINGERNFL to bet from anywhere, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, or Indiana. If you lose your first bet within 7 days of signing up, FanDuel Sportsbook will give you a refund of up to $500 in site credit. That's promo code RINGERNFL, RINGERNFL. 21 and over and present in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, or Indiana. First online wager only. Site credit expires in 14 days. Cash out is not available in all markets. Terms apply. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, let's move on to the middle range sweet spot, the Goldilocks. These aren't guys that price too high or too low, but right in the middle. DK, who's your Goldilocks this week?
I'm going with running back David Montgomery of the Bears. Going up against the Lions this week, he's 6,400 on FanDuel. He's posted 21.1 and 22.7 points in his past two games, respectively. Not coincidentally, after Matt Nagy vowed to make the run game and Monty more of a centerpiece of the offense and basically take the ball out of Mitch Trubisky's hands and give it to the guy who's good. So I like the matchup too, particularly this week with Montgomery. The Lions, excuse me, they're dead. They're very bad against opposing running backs this season. They've given up 120. So in the past couple of weeks, they gave up 120 yards and two touchdowns to Josh Jacobs last week. They gave up 64 yards plus another 79 yards through the air and a touchdown to Saquon Barkley 2 weeks ago, 142 yards, two touchdowns to Dalvin Cook the week before that, a combined 196 yards and a touchdown to Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones in week six. So they've been hemorrhaging points and yardage and touchdowns to opposing running backs. And I think that's basically what Chicago has to do against Detroit this week. Have to try and just pound the ball, get Montgomery really involved. For this price, I think he's that's like a nice middle range sweet spot for me.
Are you at all worried about Matt Nagy or Mitchell Trubisky, you know, maybe having negative yards in the first half last week? Does that in any way affect your
Do you think it would happen twice in a row?
You know what? I never thought it would happen once. So I'm more open to it.
Lightning strike twice? Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a little bit of a worry that the Bears will just implode, but it was good to see them kind of bounce back after they had an atrocious first half last week. As you alluded to, did they have negative yards in the first half?
So technically they did not, but I don't care if people correct me. At the 2 minute warning of the first half, Mitchell Trubisky had 12 dropbacks and negative 11 yards.
That's some Rex Grossman shit right there.
Yes. 23 yards lost to sacks. So that's where you get from.
But then they figured it out in the second half, got Montgomery going and
just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely valid. You know, take that with a grain of salt, but take my advice with a grain of salt. But I do think Montgomery is a good player and he's trending in the right direction going up against a bad run defense.
Well, the Chicago's on the Great Lakes and Great Lakes are fresh water, if my knowledge is correct. So I don't think there's enough salt in the whole lake for Mitchell Trubisky, but that's just me. All right. My middle range sweet spot, my Goldilocks this week is Devin Singletary.
Which I also was thinking of doing this one too. So
it's Devin Doubletary this week.
Yeah.
Boo.
That one was fine. That wasn't, I've done worse. Don't boo that one.
I thought he was going to say boom, but then it turned into just a boo. All right.
It's all rose colored glasses. Looks like Gianni and Laurel. Anyway, Devin Singletary, another rookie running back like David Montgomery. First time since week one, a running back other than Frank Gore started for Buffalo. Devin Singletary started week one, got the job back this week formally. Hit 20 carries for 95 yards and a touchdown. Also had three catches for 45 yards, 23 fantasy points. He also just looks great. It's like, if you have red zone, Devin Singletary just pops up four times a day. That's pretty representative though. He has 6.7 yards per attempt this year. If he doesn't meet the qualifying running backs because he missed like three games of the hammy injury, but if he was qualifying, he would lead the league in yards per attempt. And if you just watch him at the ball, he's so fluid. He's decisive, but also like makes people miss. He's just been a joy to watch on that Buffalo team, especially because Josh Allen, I don't want to call him inept. He's been turning the ball over way less. And Cleveland's defense is bad. They rank 24th against the run, according to FanDuel scoring. They've been, not shredded, but they've given up respectable days to Phil Lindsay, Sony Michel, Chris Carson got to him. And I think Bills can control the ball in this game. The one fishy thing is that the Bills are favored by 2.5 points. Sal mentioned this on Bills podcast. I don't know why. It's weird. They're traveling they're 2.5 road underdogs. So it implies that on a neutral field, they would be half point underdogs. And the Bills are 6-2. The Browns are not. That part's weird.
Yeah.
So
what does Vegas know that we don't know?
That is my concern. In all seriousness, that's the concern. Because if the Bills had the ball and were running, I'd be like, all right, Joyce. So that's the only thought there.
Yeah.
But I like Singletary for $6,700. So there we go.
Yeah. This you mentioned it. This is last week was the first time for the Bills that He got the first two carries, which is the first time that's happened for the Bills all year. Frank Gore did end up getting a couple. I think he had three goal line carries that all got stuffed. And then, but basically Singletary was the de facto lead back. It's the fact that the actual lead back and the de facto lead back in carries and snaps and all that. So I think he's definitely kind of just become the guy there.
Beautiful. Craig, who's your Goldilocks? I feel like this is your favorite category.
I do like it. Yeah. It's a fun one. This is like, I feel like the ones that really put your lineup from mediocre to extraordinary.
That's what you do for this podcast.
Wow. I'm the Goldilocks. Thank you so much.
You're the Goldilocks.
I'm going with Curtis Samuel and the Panthers. I feel like this is DK's guy. I feel like he always mentions Curtis Samuel.
You've been on him since he was drafted.
I'm going to steal him for this week, though. So I think other Panthers receiver DJ Moore is likelier to draw the top Packers cornerback, Jaire Alexander. And Evan Silva on his website, Established the Run, had an interesting stat just about the Packers secondary and how it might be a little overrated to the common public. They've given up the NFL's six most 20-plus yard catches and a league high 11 pass plays of 40 plus yards. And that's what Samuel's great at. He's a big air yards guy. Also, he leads the Panthers in red zone targets. He's got 7, which is kind of surprising. I mean, it shows in the stats. I guess you just don't really think about it, but he's got 2 touchdowns in the last 3 games. DJ Moore has only got 1 this entire year. And it's starting to reflect on FanDuel. He's worth $300 more this week than DJ Moore. So I still do think he's a great price. I think in a couple weeks, if this continues and he creeps up a little bit higher, it'll start to not be worth it. But at $6,100, I still think I think it's worth it this week.
I kind of still like DJ Moore if he's a little bit cheaper, but I get this if you're afraid of Jaire Alexander, who is wonderful, but the rest of the Packers secondary might be a little out there.
Speaking of out there.
Yeah.
Speaking of out there. All the way out there. Wow. Look at you. All the way out there. It's the Galaxy Brain play of the week. Oh, Galaxy Brain.
This is Hyvitz's favorite category.
This is the only... I would just do this as the podcast. I would just call this the Galaxy Brain Football Podcast.
It's not a bad name.
To me. DK.
I feel like Danny lives just in a Galaxy Brain... Like, you know, the meme or whatever, where it's the 4 different levels of making decisions. I think Danny lives on the bottom. He's just living in Galaxy Brain land.
I've said it before. Cosmic apotheosis. That's the goal. DK, who's your Galaxy Brain play of the week?
Mine's Kalen Ballage of Miami, which, you know, obviously we've been down. I think on Monday we said, don't fucking bother with anyone on the Dolphins.
I think we refused to say his name. Maybe because he dropped a pass that was then caught by a Patriots defender in week 2.
Yeah, so Ballage has not been good this year. He's very, very athletic, very explosive, just hasn't been good, hasn't shown good vision. You know, he just hasn't been worth having in fantasy or real life.
Probably
football.
The best example of a combine warrior who does not have football skills that I can remember.
He's the guy who, playing time. He's the NBA player or the guy at the gym who's like dunking before the game. And you're like, oh, we're screwed. And then you actually play the game. And you're like, oh, he can't dribble or shoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We're fine.
So that being said,
it's not bad.
He's going to get volume likely in this offense with Mark Walton out for 4 games to a suspension. It's looking like Ballage is kind of the next man up. I think Patrick Laird could get a little bit of run or maybe Miles Gaskin, but Ballage seems to be the next man up. He's gotten some goal line carries this year. Those are obviously valuable in fantasy. So this is kind of one of those, like, not a good player in real life, but potentially getting the volume to be a fantasy factor type plays. It's definitely feels Galaxy Brain to me. So
you didn't go with this 4,600 though. You didn't go with this where I thought you were going to go, which is ESPN's Cameron Wolf pointed this out on ESPN this week. The Dolphins in their first 19 quarters this season had 2 touchdowns. And then since Ryan Fitzpatrick came in the fourth quarter of week 6, they have 10 touchdowns in their last 13 quarters. So the offense, if you look at the whole season numbers, the Dolphins still suck. They're actually 31st to the Jets in every category. And the Jets are last. But in the last few weeks, they've been fine. They've just been bad. They haven't sucked. And they're moving the ball a little bit better with Fitz. So, like, the odds of getting a goal line carry now is so much higher than it was 6 weeks ago.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick is on the Rams, they have the same record.
Holy shit, where did that come from?
Popped in.
You're the wrong podcast. That's not the hottest take, man.
That
oh my
was
God.
Amazing.
That was wow. good.
Jim wow, is here producing this. Jim, that. Just pop this out and put it in the hottest take.
Wow, you just dropped that.
I really actually am intrigued with this idea now.
I mean, just I don't disagree.
It's a Galaxy Brain segment.
Holy cow. All right, well, speaking of Galaxy Brain, my Galaxy Brain, Daniel Jones and the Giants, baby. I'm bringing it back. I don't look.
Can
playing
you get
the Jets,
your guy to stop turning the ball over so much?
Yeah,
Danny?
This week against the Jets, because here's the thing: the Daniel Jones has been terrible against good teams. You know, the Patriots, good team. Vikings, good team. Cowboys, good team. Got to give the kid a break, all right? Yeah. Does he, like, lead the league in turnovers since he took
New
over?
York,
maybe.
Danny.
Do the Giants lead the whole NFL in turnovers? Yeah. But that's not the point. The point is he's dominated against bad football teams with bad pass defenses. The Jets qualify. The Jets' best defender is hurt, C.J. Mosley. Second best defender plays for the Giants now, Leonard Williams. Now, they also lost their worst defender, Trumaine Johnson, on injured reserve. But Daniel Jones, not bad at play this week. He's got the
rush.
Are you
forgetting about Jamal Adams? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Jets did, too. So why do I have to remember? Oh.
You know who else led the league in turnovers in their first season? Peyton Manning. Ever heard of him?
Daniel, we always said he's the successor to Eli Manning, and I think everyone forgot that he's actually the successor to Peyton Manning. So, yeah, Daniel Jones, galaxy brain, you know? Play him.
That was good.
You got another one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wanted DK to agree with me publicly, so...
What am I supposed to agree with you on?
Yeah, the Daniel Jones, great play. I wanted to get this on record.
It could be a lot worse, I'll say that.
Beautiful. Oh, I'll take it. All right, the other one, Tyler Boyd. This one's a little more legit. Tyler Boyd, this may not make immediate sense, because, you know, Ryan Finley is the quarterback for the Bengals, and they're playing the Ravens, but... Bad quarterbacks replacing guys, and we think they suck, have good first weeks all the time. And the Bengals are coming off a bye, so we don't know what offensive changes they've made. But, like, we just saw Brandon Allen, who, raise your hand if you had heard of Brandon Allen 3 weeks ago.
Also, I feel like new QBs just kind of, like, grasp onto their number one receiver, like, and only look their way like a little kid in the grocery store with their mom's leg. You know what I mean? Like, they're just the whole time just grabbing onto it, not letting it go.
Yeah, so number one receivers. AJ Green was expected to play this week. AJ Green, we're recording this Thursday afternoon. AJ Green said he's not playing this week. So Tyler Boyd's back in. Tyler Eifert isn't, like, even if he plays, he's on a snap count. Like, Tyler Boyd's all they got. So, I mean, FanDuel obviously is half PPR. But still, all those receptions are worth something. They could be in garbage time. Also, I think the offense could be a little better than we think coming out of a bye week. So, Tyler Boyd, galaxy brain. Ryan Finley, while you're at it, too. Greg.
Yeah, I don't think that's his gal. It's not as bad. It's not as bad as you think. It's not a terrible advice, I think.
Well, I guess it's like every time I thought about, you know, like, saying that out loud, I was like, well, you know, when Ryan Finley burns you, you're going to feel really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it could happen.
I like Craig's. Let's get to Craig's.
All right.
Wow.
I'm going with O.J. Howard. We all remember O.J. Howard. He plays football. He's on the Bucks. He's a tight end. He used to be good. But, you know, I was moseying around on FanDuel looking at all the tight ends. He's really, really cheap. I was like, you know what? Let's look into O.J. Howard. You know his totals this year, if you look at him, 32 yards, 66 yards, 33 yards, 10 yards, 35 yards. You know, in like week 3 or 4, that looked pretty bad. But at the current state of tight end, that really doesn't look so bad. He's averaging like 40, 37 yards a game. He's been hurt for a while. Cameron Brate, the other tight end on the Bucks, has hurt ribs. Only played 11 snaps last week. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals, who give up the most fantasy points to tight ends this week. If anyone is going to let O.J. Howard finally reach his potential of 2018, it's this Arizona Cardinals team. And I believe we tried this already with Evan Ingram against the Cardinals a few weeks ago, and it did not work out. But that's why this is galaxy.
You know, I feel like, you know, people are like, it's like Lost or something. You're on a desert island, and, you know, someone has passed away on your trip, and you're like, oh, like, we can't eat this person just because we have no food. But then 3 weeks pass, and you're like, oh, well, maybe Jesus. We can eat that person. I feel like that's what you just did.
We're just Donner, like, partying this?
You're just starving now, like a month later, and you're like, all right, you know what? It's not so bad anymore.
Yeah,
we can do that.
It's been
that's
a while.
That's what you just did with
I'm
OG
like,
Howard.
OJ Howard's looking pretty tasty right now.
Oh, my God. He's a Buccaneer. They're Pirates. Who knows what they do?
So what do you guys, geez. How do you feel about that?
It's a galaxy break. Feels,
yeah. This is good for this category, I think.
Thank you.
It's categorized properly.
Okay, great.
All right,
I'll
let's
take
get
that.
Out of that as quickly as possible. Bargain bin play of the week when you're scraping the bottom of the barrel. DK, who are you barrel scraping this week?
I'm going with wide receiver Josh Reynolds of the Rams going up against the Steelers. He's 5,200. Brandon Cooks remains out potentially long term with another concussion. So they're looking into it. He's seen specialists. his status is up in the air going forward. In the Rams, three receiver sets, Reynolds is the guy that slides in. He did that last year. He caught 29 passes for 402 yards and 5 touchdowns when Cooper Kupp went out midway through the season. And the reason I like him here is because he's an experienced kind of fill-in guy. He knows the offense like the back of his hand. And he kind of just slots in and should hit the ground running. He had 8 targets last week, caught 3 for 73 yards and a touchdown. I should say 2 weeks ago. I think they were on bye last week. So overall, I just think he's going to see the type of volume you want to see for players of this price. And, you know, in a passing offense with like the Rams, who have in the past been able to, you know, toss ball all over the field, they're definitely kind of inconsistent, but I think there's the upside is still there with the Rams. So those are a couple of reasons I like Reynolds in this setup.
Are you not worried about the Steelers having an excellent pass rush and the Rams, Jared Goff, just, I don't want to be like wetting his pants when there's a pass rush, but doesn't play well?
I guess, yeah, that's obviously a concern, but I don't think they're going to necessarily shut the Rams completely down either.
My issue with Josh Reynolds is that in theory, he has a big ceiling, but like has never had a massive game or like has never really had enough massive games that you're like, oh yeah, no, there's a big ceiling here. In reality, I feel like Cooper Kupp keeps.
Is that true about Josh Reynolds? I feel like he had some good games last year.
He's had solid games. He's never like gone off. Or at least, like, I'm not counting the first time he did it. It was like, oh, Josh Reynolds is this. Hasn't really happened since.
Last year, he had games, 80 catches and a touchdown, 5 catches for 70 yards, 4 catches for 55 yards and 2 touchdowns, 3 catches for 42 yards and 2 touchdowns.
He had a couple games. 2-touchdown games. Those are good.
Yeah. 5 touchdowns last year.
So he's had two touchdowns games. No, that was in week 17 against the Niners. The fantasy football isn't even happening. That wasn't a real game.
It's a fake game. I didn't know there were fake games.
Yes. Yeah, it's a fake. It's week 17.
Danny, why don't you move the goalposts a little bit more?
Oh.
All right. Get out of here. No, I'm sticking with this.
Yeah, why don't you call the NFL players and tell them that they played in a fake game that
Josh
week?
Reynolds has never had more than 80 receiving yards in a football game. Am I wrong about what I'm saying?
I mean,
this is bargain bin, man. You're missing the point.
I kind of agree. I'm on DK's side.
Bargain bin, the hope is you get a big game at it.
The dude has played like 16 career games.
Whatever. Who's your point?
I'm going with Gus Edwards, running back on the Ravens. The only game where the Ravens have truly blown a team out was week 1 against the Dolphins. And he had 17 carries that game. And they're playing the Bengals, who give up the most everything to running backs. So
this is good. I like this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could be up like 28 in a second and Gus Edwards could start the whole second half. So he's really cheap. I think it could be worth it as a bargain scraper.
I think this is an excellent choice from Craig.
Thank you.
Well done.
The seal of approval.
All right, let's just get into building our FanDuel lineup. Again, half PPR, $60,000 to build, you know, the world's greatest lineup. Not quite million-dollar picks, but $60,000 picks.
Almost.
I feel good about this lineup, you guys.
I like this one. Yeah. All right, so quarterback, we roll with Kyler Murray at quarterback, which I love because he's, I mean, not even in the top 5 most expensive, not even the top 7 most expensive guys this week. And he kind of should be. They're playing the Bucks. Terrible pass defense.
29th against opposing quarterbacks this year per FanDuel scoring. So yeah, it's great matchup.
Everything about this, again, highest over under the week, everything about this suggests that there's going to be absolute shootout. So love Kyler Murray for anything resembling a discount. And then DK, we've got Christian McCaffrey at $10,500. Christian McCaffrey, DK, you showed your love for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he's averaged 28.17 points per game.
Is that good?
Points per game. It's very good, yeah. He has the highest floor and one of the highest, I think maybe one of the highest ceilings of any player in fantasy football every single week, so I like it.
It's beautiful. Next up, we got Devin Singletary, Devin Doubletary, because we're all, are you in on, Craig?
Sure, Triple Terry.
Devin Tripletary. Triple option, Devin Singletary, and then your boy at receiver.
Chris Godwin.
The God.
Then we got Christian Kirk on the Cardinals coming up next. They're playing the Bucks, who give up the most fantasy points to wide receivers.
So, yeah, so we stack Kyler Murray and Kirk at receiver, and then DJ Moore.
Couldn't quite afford Curtis Samuel, those $300. Couldn't do it because we needed guys like Christian McCaffrey and Chris Godwin. But we like him. He's got a good floor. Moore's got the floor, you know?
There you go. Good one.
Wow, look at you rhyming.
Thanks.
Jack Doyle, we roll with him at tight end because the Colts, so T.Y. Hilton's out this week against the Dolphins.
Looks like Brissett's going to play.
Yeah, so it looks like Jacoby Brissett will play this week. Probably is going to. Also, Brian Hoyer was fine, but Jacoby Brissett's probably going to play. But T.Y. Hilton, number one receiver, out. Paris Campbell
out, yeah.
Also out of the broken hand. So you've basically got Zach Pascal as the number one receiver, and then they're going to have to roll with a bunch of two tight end sets to compensate when you lose your top two receivers. And we like Jack Doyle, odds for a touchdown. He had one last week, and we like his odds.
Going up against Miami, their defense, which is not good.
It's not great.
Not great.
Certainly not great.
Yeah.
Do you think, how many players in the Dolphins defense do you think you could name? Especially since Xavier Howard and Aqib Talib all those guys are hurt. And I think Rashad Jones might be hurt too.
And Minkah Fitzpatrick's gone.
Yeah. How many players in the Dolphins defense do you think you guys can name?
Not very many.
Yeah.
I can name a few. All of them are not playing this week. They're all hurt.
So I know. He's like Xavier Howard.
Is Raekwon McMillan? Raekwon McMillan is still on the Dolphins, isn't he?
Oh, you got silence on this end on that, bro.
Somebody fact check me on that, but I think he's there. Christian Wilkins is a rookie.
He's hurt.
He's drafted.
I don't know if he's going to play. He's on the injured list. I don't know if he's going to play. He's on the injury report this week, as is Bobby McCain. All right, you know what?
We're making the case for Jack Doyle. That's what we're doing.
You don't think that everyone listening wants to hear about the Dolphins' defensive players? That's not what everyone's hearing.
Haven't been watching a lot of the All-22 on the Dolphins' defense this year.
Okay. Well, all right, DK, who do we got at flex this week?
I'm going with Calvin Ridley. Obviously, talked about Julio. He's just a lot cheaper in this game. I think with Mohamed Sanu now a Patriot, the passing game is probably just going to run through Julio, Ridley, and Hooper. And I think that gives Ridley a pretty good floor this week. He's kind of our bargain bin guy in the roster with so many stars and scrubs style thing. We got a lot of stars up top and kind of just had to fill out the roster. So we like Ridley at this spot with 5,300.
And we rounded it out with the Colts defense because we think Ryan Fitzpatrick made the Dolphins defense, offense better, doesn't mean it's good. Also doesn't mean Ryan Fitzpatrick won't throw two pick sixes to blow the game. So we love pick sixes. Love Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Fitzy's good, but he's at the same time, he's one of the most prone to just completely implode quarterbacks too.
Either Fitzmagic or Fitztragic.
Yeah.
As is this lineup. We'll see which one it is. All right. So to bring that all back home, Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray, and we've got Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey and Buffalo's Devin Singletary. At receiver, we've got Tampa Bay's Chris Godwin and Arizona's Christian Kirk, and then also Carolina's DJ Moore. And then at tight end, we've got Indianapolis's Jack Doyle. And then flexing, we are flexing Atlanta's Calvin Ridley, and a defensive role with the Indianapolis Colts. I think that's all we got. Thank you, DK. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, as always, to our Sunshine Gym. And thank you to everyone for listening. We'll see you guys next week. This holiday season, immerse yourself in all your favorite holiday classics with a new home theater system from Sonos. I love my Sonos move. Just throw some Christmas music on in that baby and just start dancing. It'll make you feel whole. My Sonos move makes me feel whole. And if you get a Sonos, you can feel whole too. Go to Sonos.com to learn more and complete your holiday shopping.